after the hour. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Listen, I know I don't talk a lot of hockey on this show, Colfax, but it's just like, why does hockey always sneak up on us? Okay, I'm asking sports fans that maybe like hockey a little bit more than I do, if you were like well aware that, you know, the Avs starting up, you know, again, the Avs, but hockey in general, the NHL getting ready to start, you know what they're going to do in their five rinks coming up tomorrow. The start of a 56-game sprint to the playoffs with all divisional play until the semifinals. That will ramp up the rivalries, reduce travel during the pandemic, and make it a kind of a once-in-a-lifetime type chase for a title. Why does the NHL suck at marketing so much? I mean, you watch regular, somewhat regular television. You see ads and stuff. You're on the intrawebs.
Yep.
I know I'm a Nuggets fan. I know I'm like one of those big time fans. In the NFL, you know, you'd have to be living under a rock to not know when the season started. But everything else we know about. I think the NHL regular season, apparently in pandemic mode, and as always, MLB draft. Nobody ever knows when that is. It just like starts, and 3,000 rounds later, the Rockies have their fourth string third baseman. Any idea here?
I have no idea. I mean, if you would have asked me, does it start tomorrow?
When does it start?
No.
Yeah, I honestly knew from last week, just going over to some preview stuff for the Avs. But I mean, it's just like, boom, here it is. So fast. And there's not, the NHL has always been bad at this. And I'll admit, the sport itself is not as attractive to me, it's not as appealing to me as football, basketball, baseball. It's just a different sport to me. I know we say it's the big four, and rightfully so, but it's just one of those sports to me that's so much different compared to basketball, football, and baseball. But that being said, the NHL just is terrible at marketing. You know, this should be everywhere. The NBA, and they're, you know, wherever they rank now, I don't know if they're third or they second, wherever, but they try. I mean, you see, if you could be on a channel that has nothing to do with sports, and you're going to see an ad about, you know, one of the stars in the NBA. I mean, they market their stars well. And the NFL markets their stars pretty good, but it's the NFL. I mean, how many fantasy apps and betting ads have you seen just mainly centered around the NFL?
Hundreds.
Hell, I knew college basketball, this opening of the season kind of goes under the radar a little bit, but I think we were all, even though it was like a shotgun start for everybody, we all kind of had an idea. It's amazing to me. You know, I mean, seriously, I'm asking Hooligans, did you wake up yesterday morning and go, hell yeah, man, hockey starts up this week? It's like the softest entry to any kind of regular season startup.
Yeah, and I mean, we obviously follow lots of sports writers and broadcasters all over our social medias, and they're not even talking about it. Like, you have to literally be tuned into hockey only
broadcasters. Yeah, in fact, I got, you know, as a radio station, we get a lot of, you know, you see those emails from random people. They're like, hey, would you like to talk about this topic? And I got one the other day. And again, I don't know how legitimate it was, but it's just like, did you know that the Colorado Avalanche are like the top 10 in the country with the most like diehard, loyal fan base? But that doesn't necessarily mean it's the biggest. It just means that if you love the Avs, you love the freaking Avs. The NHL's problem has always been grasping the casual fan. Is that the sport itself? Is it the lack of marketing? Because, you know, when you look at the big names in hockey, and there's some big names. Nothing compared to the big names in football. Nothing compared to the big names in basketball. And hell, baseball doesn't do an amazing job either at marketing. But, you know, they kind of have tradition on their side. And, you know, I mean, look at the state of Colorado. We say we're a Broncos state, but as you said, Rockies fans, if there's something to cheer for, they will come around and cheer for it. But the Avs are like, you know, damn near as successful as the Broncos in their short stint, really, compared to the Broncos.
Yeah.
Yet, I mean, in they had two lockouts in 10 years in that span from like 2000 to 2010 or something like that. So that kind of hurts. I don't know. I mean, it's just I've always been curious by it. You know, I like hockey playoffs. It can be fun, especially when the Avs are in rolling. And I think we all agree the Avs are going to be a special team this year. They were, you know, should have been a special team last year. But it just goes under the radar. I mean, this article, you know, I'm just kind of going. I'm trying to update myself with how many games are there going to be. The NBA did 10 less. Well, hockey's doing 56 games. And it's basically like the way they're spinning it is it's like it feels like it's 56 playoff games. So I'm curious to see how this year goes for them. I mean, weak sports are going to struggle. You know, and we talked about this at the college ranks in football. Well, college football is king, but not every football team is king. So Alabama's not going to feel this pandemic like Colorado State's going to feel it. I mean, the top teams are just not going to feel it. You know, they make billions. They make a lot of money. Colorado State needs that stadium to start getting some, you know, butts. Hooligans are sending pictures of their butts today. They need some butts in the stadium. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. Just kind of snuck up on us, man. And I know sometimes people can say that about the NBA. Kind of sneaks up on you. But, I mean, the preseason lead up and everything. And it was in the bubble. I mean, for better or worse, the bubble was newsworthy. I mean, we talked a lot about that whole setup and what they did there. Speaking of the bubble, will we get Bubble Boy back? Did you see Bubble Boy? Did you ever watch?
I never watched the movie, no.
Jake Gyllenhaal? That's the version I watched. I think there was a Bubble Boy before that, but
there's a Seinfeld episode with the Bubble Boy.
They never wanted to go outside and all that stuff, or what?
Well, he couldn't. He had a medical issue.
Oh, really?
And then they popped his bubble because they're just terrible people. The Seinfeld cast.
What happened to him? Did he die?
I don't know.
Well,
there was I don't know.
So this was more or less like the mom was afraid. She never wanted her baby boy out in the world. She was afraid something would happen to him. So she kind of convinced him that he, you know, would get sick and die out there.
Okay. Oh, but it wasn't true. It was a lie.
Yeah, he found out it was a lie. So he's in a giant bubble in the house like a little hamster. And then he creates like a little portable bubble so he can run around and do stuff. And then he figures out he doesn't need it. Whatever. Spoiler alert. But if you're going to watch that crappy movie, good luck. Can't believe that. Jake Gyllenhaal. Like all the serious movies that he's in now, he was in Bubble Boy. It's crazy. Jamal Murray is our Bubble Boy.
Ooh.
You know, he was safe in the confines of Disney, what was it?
Disney World?
Disney World. I can't remember if it's Disneyland or Disney World. In Florida,
Florida's
it's Disney
World.
Disney World. California is Disneyland.
Disneyland.
Well, so Murray's safe there. You know, it's all closed off. There's no pressure. There's no fans in the stands. It's all these little computer Zoom meetings. There's no crowd one way or the other going against you or whatever. I mean, it's just all good. Life in the bubble was good. You know, look at these stats, Colfax. But again, his highs in the bubble, I should say. I got to be fair here. His highs in the bubble were great. But his lows were just about what we see now. So look at this. Let's just go to when they played Utah. Let's go through the playoff series for Jamal Murray. First game, game one. They win that game. 36 points. Jamal Murray is coming to play. Didn't see a lot of him in the regular season bubble, but here he is. Game two, they lose 14. Game three, they lose 12. Game four, they lose 50 points. And then, of course, everybody's going nuts saying, wow, what an effort by Jamal, and they just couldn't do it. Well, we're thinking they're out. Okay, the next night, this is when Jamal started getting some fame because he got the 50 there. The game they needed to win, elimination game, game five coming up, he gets 42. Five boards. Great game. 42 points. Game six, another elimination game. What does he do? Another 50-point game. That's when the moment when he sat down, he was like almost crying. He was emotional. And then game seven, he had 17. Okay? So his highs were much better in the bubble than they are now. But still, you can see they're very inconsistent. So let's go to the next series. Let's go up against the Clippers. First game, what did he do? Colex, let's play this game. Take a guess. Game one, how many points did Jamal Murray have in a loss to the Clippers?
15.
12.
Okay.
Okay, game two, they win. How many points did Jamal Murray have?
36.
27.
Okay.
But you're on the right track with this game that is called Jamal Murray. Game three, a loss to the Clippers. How many points?
I'll go 15 again.
14. Okay. There you go. Game four, going up against the Clippers. It's a loss again. How many points did he have?
17.
18. Colfax, my goodness, you did your homework. Okay, game five. We got to win. It's survival mode. The
42.
Nuggets win this game. He had 26.
Dang. Okay.
But you're still on the right track. Like, you're still on the really average to, okay, once you score over 25, you're up in that upper echelon. Okay, game six, you win. How many points in that one?
30.
20.
Dang.
So, you know. And game seven, you win.
30.
28.
Okay.
All right, let's go to the Western Conference Finals. Game one, they lose. How many points for Jamal Murray going up against LeBron James and the Lakers on the biggest stage?
12.
21.
Oh, dang.
See, the Western Conference Finals
was a different story.
21, 25.
Okay.
Game three, they win.
Did he get 30?
28.
Okay.
This was his most consistent series, and it's the one they lost by, or it's the one they only won one game in. They had 32 and 19 the next two nights. But you're on the right track.
Yeah.
Now. It's very predictable that Jamal Murray's unpredictable. So how many points did he have? Like, it's almost like you're going to see two crappy games, two 12, 14, 15-point games, and then you're going to see a big 40-point burst.
Yep.
And then maybe a 26-point burst. So when I talk about Jamal, we want bubble Jamal back. We want the best of bubble Jamal, because Jamal was still very inconsistent here. You don't see these numbers with Joker like this, because if you do see the low point totals, you go over to his rebounds and assists, and you're going to see like 15 assists and 12 rebounds. So that makes up for, he only had 16 points in this game. That makes up for it when you're, you know, flirting with a triple-double. So Jamal Murray, man, I mean, it's a tough spot. I don't know where we are with this guy right now. And I know he gets really worked up. Dixon going back to hockey's much better in person than on TV. Playoff hockey's awesome. Yeah, I agree. I've been to hockey games. Hell, the Eagles games? I mean, they are so much fun. And you don't need to know anybody out there. It is cool knowing that they could go play for the Avs. Go down, you know, shipped up and go play for the Avs at any minute. Like the next night. That is kind of cool. Dixon says, so Dixon's kind of hitting us up with this hockey thing. But with the low scoring, it's kind of soccer on ice. Even though those guys are superb athletes, it's a very physical sport. I was going to say that, Colfax. Seriously, Dixon, you and I are on the same page for once. I feel like hockey is more, and I'm getting all the hockey fans just like slamming their radios right now. They're punching it. I do get that feeling sometimes, because it's what I like about basketball. And I get football, like, you don't have this argument, but what I like about basketball is you're going to get some kind of resolution almost every possession. You know, like, you're going to get a score. You're going to get a steal. You're going to get a key rebound or something. Hockey is back, 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 back. It's like a never-ending play almost. Basketball, you're watching those one-on-one stats. I do like to watch not just the game and score, but I like to watch, okay, how many points does Nikola have tonight? Oh, can you shut down Kawhi Leonard and keep him from 20 points to 12. I mean, it's different in basketball. Football, same thing. I mean, you don't have as much scoring, but it's still stats. Each game has its own thing. Hockey, though, where it's at its best is, to me, this is my opinion, 5-6 minutes left, and it's back and forth, and in an instant, it can change. You can just have a goalie that has been on fire 98% of the game, and that just that 2% is all it takes, and you lose the game. So I do, that part is kind of cool because it's lethal, man. I mean, you could be playing the perfect game. How many times in hockey do you say, I mean, the Avs were outplayed 99% of that game, but it was 0-0. And it was, you know, the puck was on their side of the ice way more often than anybody else's. Yet they found a way to get a couple of crazy shots and win the game. I mean, that's what's good about it, but it can also be kind of frustrating about the sport too. But you're right, Dixon, I agree. I mean, it does kind of feel like it's soccer on ice. I know hockey fans hate that right now. Power to Play Sports poll question is available. Who would win if they were to play today? Colorado State or Colorado? Go vote when it comes to men's basketball. All right, so we got Jamal Murray. I got a whole minute coming out about that. We're going to be putting that together later today, and that'll be out on social media and our website. But the other guy I want to talk about here, and this is the positive, is Gary Harris. And, you know, if Gary can find his offense, it's kind of like you just found a new player in the offseason because you haven't had this offensive player. He had 14 the other night, but 14 used to be like, you know, a high for him. The last four or five nights, he's been good. Mike Malone is very happy with what he's seeing with Gary Harris, but not even just the scoring aspect.
You know what you're going to get every night from Gary on the defensive end? He locks in. He guards guys. And the numbers bear it out. We put him on the other team's best player most nights. And Gary welcomes that challenge. Gary's been shooting the ball, scoring the ball, playing very efficiently on the offensive end. But something I don't think that gets enough credit, Gary's off-ball movement, the amount of cuts that Gary makes, he's going to be the beneficiary at times. He'll get the layup or the score. But he's opening up so many shots for his teammates by being unselfish, running his route, cutting to score, collapsing the defense, and guys are benefiting with open shots behind that. So I'm proud of Gary. I love how he's playing, and he's a big part of us being 4-1 in our last five.
Yeah, no question. I mean, no question. Mike Malone speaking about Gary Harris. I love Gary Harris. I'm a huge fan. That's why it pained me so much to see what the years were doing to this guy. But, I mean, maybe he's starting to – I mean, I hate talking about the injury because it's been so many years since that, but, you know, just sometimes things can click a little bit differently. I know he's been in the gym a lot working on that three-point shot. But I love what Mike Malone says about the running without the basketball. That's what this team is built on. And he creates so many openings just by moving around. Moving around, changing, getting a defensive player's eyesight to change just a little bit can throw enough off just to get an open Jamal Murray, an open Monte Morris. I mean, that's I do love watching Gary. I think he's a fundamental player. The concern is he at that level anymore? Yes, he's a fundamental player, but can he keep up defensively like he used to? Can he score? Well, the last couple of nights, he's been doing just that. 22 minutes after the hour, shout out to a new sponsor of the program, No Limit Collectibles. Man, you want to decorate that man cave. You want to, you know, maybe you're trying to win a Top Text Tuesday, but you just can't get it. Stop by No Limit Collectibles, man. Buy, sell, trade. They're getting like a card. I think they're going to have a lot of card shows, too. Maybe you're a collector. Maybe you want to sell some cards. That's No Limit Collectibles. Check them out. Tell them we sent you here. They're in the outlets at Loveland. Again, they buy, they sell, they trade. There's no limit to what you can collect. 23 minutes after the hour. Let's get the... Well, no, we don't have to do that yet, Colfax. We're actually on time. We'll take a short break here. When we come back, Broncos offense that was... What are your realistic expectations for the Broncos next year? What are they? What is it? Don't die? I mean, that's how I feel about this team. Just don't die. You know, get it out there and see what you can do. Because who knows what this team's going to look like in 2 years. It might look completely different. We'll be right back.
When it starts, we'll be ready. High school basketball on Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Top Text Tuesdays continuing here. A couple of guys rising to the top. See, we got. Let's check the scoreboard. Weld County Swami has one. Eastside Chris has one. Pillow Fight Dan has one. So one of those guys could take it and run with it and get two, and they could put this thing to bed next week. Or we could have somebody else win and stretch this out a little further until we see what our next prize is. So we got some Broncos, kind of a Broncos gift bag type of deal. So I'm excited about that. First Advantage text line 970-478-1301. And, you know, when you look at Jamal, I know I'm talking a lot about Jamal, but I think this is such a big deal for Denver, especially if you're not going to play Michael Porter Jr. and we don't know what the hell's going on. You know, I don't know. But you look at the regular season for Jamal, very similar to those playoff numbers I was talking about, Colfax. I mean, it's kind of the same deal. You know, in the regular season thus far, let's just go January, against Phoenix on the 1st, 31. Minnesota, 36. Oh! 13, 21, 14, 9. I mean, should we come to grips with this? It's my, like, listen, this is my, Jamal Murray's my guy. You know, I said Gary Harris, but I never said Gary Harris was going to be one of the best in the NBA. I just like him. He's a good player. I said Jamal is going to be one of the best. And when he scores 36 points like he did against Minnesota, had 4 assists, 5 boards, 1 steal, no turnovers, doesn't get a whole lot better than that. That's one of the best. But one of the best in the league doesn't come out with 13, 21, 14, 9. And when he does, if those are Nikola Jokic's numbers, 13, 21, 14, and 9, well, then you're going over going, oh, well, there's 9 assists, 8 assists, 7 assists, 9 assists, 10 assists, 12 assists, 14 rebounds, 12 rebounds, 11. See what it, like, those are all triple-double stats. You get grace. Like, if you're not the best scorer in the league, you can still be the best player in the league. I know the NBA has tried to confuse us with that. It's all about scoring, and I get it. That's how you beat teams. You have to score more than the other team. Last time I checked, 99% of the time, that's what happens. But Joker leads everybody to scoring. Those other stats lead to scoring. And so that should be a new stat, leads to scores. Not even just the assist to the assist. A rebound that leads to an instant basket. I mean, those things. I mean, leads to scoring. Joker's got a lead in that. Stat guys, get on that. It's a new one. But, you know, you got to be happy with what you're seeing these last few games for Denver. But if they want to be better, I mean, we're going to do this every 10 games, right? So they're 5-5. 10 games, how do you summarize this team? What do you say right now? Underachieving? I mean, other than Joker, this team is very average. This is just a regular team, not a playoff team. You know, started off pretty poor, and then they've been rolling the last few weeks. I mean, yes, they get handed a gift with the 76ers and 7 players on that team, but, you know, it's not like everybody's running away just yet. So what do I assess with the Nuggets? They're not as great as we thought, but neither is anybody in the league right now. I mean, maybe in 10 more games we see this real team. Now, tonight you play Brooklyn. What's interesting there is no Kyrie tonight. Brooklyn's still favored by 1, but they're 5-6. And so you look at the injuries lining up. You're not going to have Kyrie. First off, Kyrie just like said he's not going to play anymore. He's just not going to show up. And now they're investigating a video. Like, I'm not a Kyrie Irving fan at all. But now the NBA is like investing a video of him at a family birthday party without a mask. It's the NBA. I guess these are the rules. If you can't follow them, then those are, you know, it's just like the marijuana rule used to be, I think, right? You know, in the NFL still said you can't smoke marijuana, but Colorado's the state law said you could, but it was still the NFL. So it's like, if you want to play in the NFL, you got to follow the NFL's rules. So I get it. If these are the rules and you got to wear a mask and if we catch you on film, then you're not, I understand it. Man, that's a, whew. Now we're getting into people's homes with these rules. That's tough. So, I mean, I hate to side with Kyrie Irving there, but man, that's a micromanaging a little bit there. So who's out for the Knicks tonight or for the Nets tonight? You got Claxton out. You got Spencer Dinwiddie's out. Kyrie Irving, Tyler Johnson. So a couple of health and safety protocols. We know that Dinwiddie's out for the season, which is a big blow for them. But still, you got KD. As for the Nuggets, Michael Porter Jr. is out. Health and safety protocols. Nobody knows if there's an end in sight there. I would imagine the Nuggets can win this game tonight. They haven't been over 500 once yet. 10 games in, and the Nuggets have not been over 500. That is a scary thing when you say it like that. 33 minutes after the hour. Okay, Colfax, I got to register somebody for our Madden Challenge. We're playing it at February 6th. There it is. February 6th. We're going to be at St. Michael's Square, NoCo Mobile Gaming. They're bringing the trailer out. We're setting up. They got the TVs. It's amazing, folks. NoCo Mobile Gaming. Do yourself a favor. Google it. Find them on Twitter. We're going to be setting up there. You got a 1 in 19 shot to win a PS5. 1 in 19 shot. So here's what it is. I asked Colfax whether or not the Browns would beat the Chiefs, would lose to the Chiefs, and cover, or would lose to the Chiefs but not cover. Which one did Colfax say? What did he pick? Did he pick the Browns to pull off the major upset? Did he pick the Browns to lose but cover the 9.5-point spread, or did he say that the Browns are going to get blown out? First caller right now to call and tell us which one Colfax picked will be in the mix. You will officially be registered for our Madden Challenge, our first ever Madden Challenge. Call 970-353-1310 or toll free 877-353-1310. It is a Saturday, February 6th. We want you involved. You got a shot to win a PS5. Brand new, baby. This is going to be amazing. So again, I asked Colfax the question, will the Browns beat the Chiefs? Will they lose but cover, or will they lose and not cover the 9.5-point spread? First one to call with the answer is registered for the Madden Challenge. 970-353-1310 or toll-free 877-353-1310. 35 minutes after the hour, we'll jump out of here. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Are your expectations for the Broncos to go to the playoffs next year? Like, do you say that now and say they need to go to the playoffs? Because it's been 5 years now. So they need to go next year or else they're blowing the whole thing up. They need to go next year or what? What are your expectations? Or are the Broncos now, and I'm sorry, but this is a realization that I'm coming to this week. Are we the Browns now? Because the Browns are not the Browns anymore. There's some other team. Are we the Browns? 5 years, no playoffs. We don't know who the owner is. Our legend just stepped back. Quarterback. I mean, you take a few steps back. I mean, you know, when you're in it, it's easy to go, oh, Drew Lock had some good things and it's a bad thing. Take a step back. Like, do you see it? Do you see Drew Lock saving this franchise? Do you see Vic Fangio? Oh, the genius Vic Fangio comes in and saves this team. It was a bad hire. The Vic Fangio was a bad hire. Drew Lock was okay second round. It was your second pick in the second round. All right. But it's just a series of bad, bad, bad mistakes. And like I said, I mean, I'm not arguing that John Elway deserves the job anymore, but why now? Because I just feel like this is, and you got your GM search going on now. What do bad teams do? They're constantly in search mode. Well, I got to replace the coach. Got to get a better quarterback. Oh, new GM. Oh, better defensive star. Well, and if they can't get Justin Simmons locked up, you're looking for a defensive star. In the offseason, I was very optimistic, and I know. I was crazy. I get it. I see the error of my ways. I thought the defense would be average. I thought the offense would be better. I didn't see the schedule being as tough as it was for Denver. I really didn't. You know, when the Titans, you know, I see the Titans lost to Baltimore, and I actually changed my tune on the Titans this year, not even just because I'm contractually obligated to, but they were just better teams this year that played this. I mean, I thought the Broncos would beat the Titans and struggle at the gates, but you know, I thought they'd beat the Falcons. I thought they'd beat the Raiders. I thought they would beat the Bills. Yeah, but I said the Bills would beat them in the playoffs. I learned the error of my ways. Never again. Not based on this format. It's just not there. And how do you view it going in? What are your expectations for this team? I mean, the ownership thing, I'll admit, didn't bug me as much last year. Didn't bug me as much the year before. Didn't really think about it as much. I mean, we talked about it and discussed it. What's the direction? Because at the end of the day, you know, general manager, your VP, John Elway, those guys, the president, John Elway, they're going to have to make the decisions. They're going to have to get this team right, regardless of who the owner is. Because sometimes owners of football teams are just that. They're just owners. They're not as active as a Jerry Jones. So that part of me thinking, okay, well, how much is really going to change unless the owner comes in and wants to clean house? Well, anybody that buys this team right now is going to probably clean house based on the history of this program. Now, moves that didn't make sense in the offseason. Again, you draft two wide receivers, your first two picks. everybody's thinking, oh, well, now Noah Fant, now you go get Melvin Gordon. Man, this offense is going to be stacked, and Drew Lock's there. And I wasn't one of those guys that said this offense is going to be lights out. I just said that maybe the schedule worked in their favor. You know, they won 5 games this year. You know, I had them winning double that. But I had them winning against the Raiders and Chargers to end the Raiders 2 times, and the Chargers leave 1 more. There would have been 3 more games. So then you're at 8. Had them beating the Falcons. You know, and it's just this one of those years that was just a bad year for the Broncos, obviously, but it's not just one of those years anymore. This feels like, I don't know, this tweener movie, man. I mean, you saw the Lord of the Rings trilogy, Colfax? You saw the I love those. Those are so good. They're so long. You got to devote like half of your life if you want to watch them.
Yeah, I can't say I remember specifics of
so
each movie. I remember liking them.
Basically, Frodo's got to get to Mount Doom and get rid of that damn ring.
Right.
That's it.
I know that.
That's pretty much it. And just a lot of stuff's going on around him. This feels like the middle movie. The towers. The two towers?
Two towers.
Feels like the middle movie. Like, okay, the first movie was, oh, wow, it's a ring. Got to get rid of this ring. How's Frodo going to do that? Who's going to join him? Oh, there's Sam as the Hobbit. Gandalf, what's happening with him? He's stuck on a tower somewhere. He gets some little butterfly to go get an eagle, and he's flying. It's amazing. The final movie's Return of the King, you know, and Aragorn's like the badass guy, and he's going to save the world, and he's going to distract everybody while Frodo's doing his thing. The middle movie is like a lot of walking. A lot of losing in battle until the very end. That's what this movie feels like. Frodo just walking around. There's no end in sight. Maybe Gollum will come up and scare everybody, and that's kind of entertaining for a little bit, but really, it's just Frodo walking. And you're thinking, man, is he ever going to get to this mountain? Like, that seems impossible. I don't see how that's going to happen. You know, that's what this feels like.
But he does get there eventually, right?
He does.
So you're saying there's hope, or was that not your
point? That hope I don't know what. I just wanted to drop a Lord of the Rings reference. Hope is, I mean, the hope's going to come when a new owner comes.
Yeah.
This year, I mean, don't get comfy with the new GM is all I'm going to say. Don't get comfy with Vic. Don't get comfy with Drew Lock or anybody on this defense. If they franchise tag somebody, if they work out a deal with Vaughn, I don't know. It's going to be like a 1-year deal, 2-year deal. Don't get comfortable with anybody on this roster or coaching staff or upper office. I mean, Joe Ellis is not coming back. Elway's, this is it. So, I mean, the positive side of you can go, oh, well, Elway's still involved. Joe Ellis is still involved. They want a GM to kind of help them. And maybe that's more of a transition move. And this is the swan song. This is the last shot. But if it's me, it's like, just a lot of wandering. It's just, you know, Drew Lock wandering around, wondering what to do with this ring around his neck. Damn sure not a Super Bowl ring. I don't know. That's where I feel. Pillow fight, Dan. The Browns were 20-plus years of futility. No, they're not. That's an overreaction, Randy. It's not Randy. You can say 20 years is bad. That's colossal, but you could still be the Browns right now. Maybe we won't see in this era nowadays, we won't see teams that are bad for 20 years like this. But I mean, listen, you guys can put on the glasses and think that Drew Lock's the guy. Pillow fight, Dan, quick. Close your eyes. Hope you're not driving. Is Drew Lock the guy? Do you feel it in your gut? Is Vic Fangio the guy? You're seeing Did you see Sean McVay? Was it after an interception? The pick 6 against Russell Wilson? Did you see Sean McVay sprinting down the field? Slapping his guys on the butt. Screaming, running, pumped up. Did you see the sideline, like, chasing him? It's not Frodo wandering, man. This is suddenly a stampede. It's a team that gets... Do you see Vic doing that? No, you see Vic Fangio on the sidelines going, how many timeouts do we even have? What is a timeout? Delay of game, Broncos. Oh, crap, forgot. Brandon McManus, I don't trust you to kick a 30-yard field goal, but get out there and try the 65-yarder. Your time to shine, baby. Coach, you realize no one has ever done that before. Doesn't matter. Time out. We don't have any left. Penalty. Do you feel right now that Vic Fangio and Drew Lock are your guys? No. This next season, I'm going to say it, and you're going to hate this. It's going to be just like the Rocky season. It is a no direction season. The Rockies have a bunch of contracts. They have Nolan Arenado. They don't know what to do with. They're not going to get any better. This year is a just get it out there and we'll end some contracts and we'll start anew next year. That is the same situation for the Broncos. I want to get excited. I want to get excited about the draft, and I probably will. I really want to see a corner. I'd like to see Surtain picked with number 9. I'm already there. I'm already committing to that. But I just don't. I don't know anymore, man. Not until you figure this out. I mean, those of you that are like, oh, they better get back to the playoffs, man. Why? Or what? Or what? You don't have an owner. You don't know what to do. And if you think right now, deep down, that Vic Fangio and Drew Lock are the... Because, again, football's about two positions for the most part. It's the head coach and the quarterback. And if you tell me right now, Vic's got the right stuff. Based on what? His defense? Well, you're getting ready to say goodbye to your best player in Justin Simmons, I would imagine. Maybe not. Hope not. Drew Lock? Based on what? His dancing? 50 minutes after the hour, we'll take a quick break. We'll wrap up. Closing thoughts coming up. What's on TV tonight? Yes, I know. I'm ending on a depressing note. But sometimes that's where you got to go. You got to be real with yourself, man. Vic's not the guy. Drew's not the guy. John's not going to be the guy. We don't know who the guy is. We're a team without a guy.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
We have another buzzer beater here to wrap the show. Wow, man, this is crazy. Here's the text. Drew Lock is probably not the guy. I'm reading the wrong text, Colfax. I'm reading the wrong text. Hold on. Okay, here it is. You don't need just guys. You need dudes. Dudes are the epitome of guys. Dudes are what every guy strives to be. End quote. Steve Adazio on his couch playing Madden listening to Brady. That's the Weld County Swami.
Guys being dudes.
Whoa!